today on Real Radio.
Beware of Christians who give you their own advice about your life. But doesn't the Bible say there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors? Assuming your counselors are wise. Doesn't mean you just gather together a bunch of Christians and let them all tell you what to do and you go with the majority of their input. That's destruction.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How Does God Love? Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. Who is Isaiah anyway? Well, Isaiah was the 8th century BC Jewish prophet for whom the book of Isaiah is named. His prophetic book is unmatched in scope and covers common prophetic themes of coming judgment as well as Israel's future restoration. But Isaiah also focused a lot of attention on the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. In chapter 29, we learned how hypocrisy can be described as a deceitful show of good character, especially when it comes to morals and Christianity. But basically, it's to know what's right and not do it. God hates hypocrisy, and we need to hate it too. The cure is found only in the truth of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit to discern what that truth is. Now in Isaiah chapter 30, we'll see how love by nature is sacrificial. It doesn't take, it gives. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that God loves by willfully humbling himself to the point of sacrificing his Son for us. God is love according to the Bible. That's why he can't tolerate sin and rebellion. And you know, these days there are a lot of Christians who are taking advice from the world, but those who seek the Lord's counsel will be blessed by him. And now in his lesson called How Does God Love? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Isaiah chapter 30 tonight, Isaiah 30, and let's pray because I need prayer tonight for this. My wife said, Lisa said, you got to start doing more chapters a night. In Isaiah, we're in chapter 30. There are 66 chapters in the book. And I think I'm going backward instead of forward. Lord, we just ask you tonight to inhabit the praises of your people. And we do praise you in our study. We've come here tonight to be in your word. We must confess, as a church setting that is, we get together twice a week. This is only really salt and pepper to our daily diet of the word, but we pray that it would be effective. The meat and potatoes, Lord, would be our personal investment with you on a daily basis. And yet tonight we gather together and we pray that you would cause there to be such an additive of your Holy Spirit in this next, well, less than an hour now, that you would help us to take away and to go as far as we can in this chapter. So give us ears to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles, as I said a moment ago, Isaiah chapter 30. We're looking at a message tonight entitled, How Does God Love? That's with a question mark. How does God love? And I don't shout it out or don't think you know, because I can honestly say, I don't think any of us know the full answer of that. How does God love? Well, we have to start out with the basics of what we know about God. The chapter's about the love of God, the faithfulness of God, the endurance of God, the goodness of God. Regarding his people, stubborn, obstinate, rebellious. You see, man, yep, that is real. Boy, there's some, I'm talking about us too. We're all the same, but God is faithful. But when we talk about how does God love, we're talking about a very, very deep doctrine, if not the deepest of all of the Bible, because it's God's love that is the genesis of everything. It's God's love that is the genesis, the nucleus, the propellant to salvation. Even in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, God knew that Adam and Eve would sin, and he still, according to the book of Ephesians, he still went through with the deal, knowing that they would fail, make the wrong decision, that he might display his love and his grace forever. None of us would have gone through that. We would not have done that. If we knew something was going to go bad, we never would have put money on that issue, would we? We never would have bought that or committed to that, but God did. How does God love? We know this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We know that in 1 John 4:8, the Bible says God is what?
Love.
Now, I wrote this down. I could paraphrase it, but I want to just read it because I think it's important when we talk about love. Tina Turner, that great philosopher, said, what does love got to do with it? It has everything to do with it. And let me tell you why. We also know that love is a characteristic that transcends an evolutionary claim or theme. Because love by nature is sacrificial. Listen, the existence of love flies in the face of the worldview of some today. If love is true and it exists, then it challenges the very view, the very concept of an evolutionary theory. Let me keep reading. Love by nature is sacrificial. It doesn't take, but rather gives. It is an irreconcilable attribute that argues against the survival of the fittest rant of the evolutionist. Love, rather, is the willful humbling of one's self to the point of sacrificing one's self for another. Think of that. That is the antithesis of the evolutionary theory. That man would lay down his life for another man? No, listen, when God is not in your life, it's this statement. It's the survival of the fittest. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. If it feels good, do it. But God knows nothing of that. It is the sacrificing of oneself for another. Love can be so powerful that it can bring the love of the lover for the loved to the point of extinction. Evolution is all about surviving, and the strongest progresses. Listen, according to the Bible, according to God, the strongest is the one who yields up their life. It's the strongest that lays their life down. And you cannot have that act of love that you and I crave. And listen, we not only crave to receive love, the human has been designed because we've been created in the image of God to not only receive love, but to give love. There's a tremendous amount of reward and meaning and purpose that's built into us to express and to receive love. That is an amazing thing because it's a self-sacrificing love. How does God love? In a self-sacrificing way, and by his act of love, is how life continues on, eternal life, ultimately. It's amazing to me. In John chapter 15, verse 12, I know we're in Isaiah 30. I'm just introducing you to this. In John 15, verse 12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's a huge love, is it not? Greater love is no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus, of course, did that. So the first thing that we see today, look in verses 1, 2, and 3. How does God love? Isaiah chapter 30, he loves by refusing to tolerate our ways. Look at verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord. He's talking about his kids, Judah, Israel at large, who take counsel, but not of me, who devise plans, but not by my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt, Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. Church, the first thing that we see in verse 1 is this. When he says woe to the rebellious children, he's talking about his own kids. And look what the indictment is. He says to them, you didn't take counsel of me. You're not listening to me. You devise your own plans. And he says, these plans that you are embarking upon are not of my Holy Spirit. And then as you go down this path, you just add sin to sin. He's talking about his own kids. Church, he's talking about us. This is not for us tonight to point at Judah and say, boy, were they messed up. He's speaking to us. You can almost hear God say with his head in his hands, don't do it. Think about it. Don't do it. Don't. And then you with the cross, oh, they did it. But how often does God see us do that? We don't take counsel of him. We don't seek him. And here's the great danger. This we learn just from verse 1 alone. Don't seek guidance from outside sources. This is very important. Listen, I know that what I'm saying, first of all, do you realize how frustrating that my calling is in life? Number one, if I made things and sold them online or whatever, that'd be much more profitable than what I actually do. Number one, I speak publicly. Granted, it is the word of God, but according to statistics, you're only going to remember 15% of what I'm talking about. How defeating is that? You see, what does that matter? Because what I'm about to say right now, there's a high probability it's going to fall into your ear and roll across and be lost before you even leave the parking lot tonight. Don't seek guidance, God is saying, from an outside source. Number one, there are far too many Christians taking advice from the world. Listen, God says don't take your advice from the world. The world has no insight and knowledge regarding your future. God wants to speak to us. Look, we're all guilty of taking advice from the world. We all do it. Don't tell me you don't. We all do it. It could be from buying a washer and dryer to a car to a house to whatever. We go through all of the research. We go through all of the, we look up the Better Business Bureau about this company and what's their rating and how's their Yelp score and what's the TripAdvisor thing on this one and all. We've got all of our things to give us counsel, and I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm saying this. The ultimate decision for us as Christians lies with the Lord and not with the way the world thinks. It's so important. Well, I don't know what happened. We did this thing and then we signed the contract and this thing and it fell apart. What are you talking to me about it for? Seriously, honestly, think about it. How did God lead you? Far too many Christians are succumbing to the advice of the world these days. The Bible, God is saying to Judah, don't do that. Well, they did it anyway, and it cost them greatly. The second thing is far too many Christians are taking advice from Christians that are giving out their own advice. Beware of Christians who give you their own advice about your life. Don't trust them. I can't believe, Pastor, you're saying that. Don't trust them. But doesn't the Bible say there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors? Assuming your counselors are wise. Doesn't mean you just gather together a bunch of Christians and let them all tell you what to do and you go with the majority of their input. That's destruction. Don't listen to people for your final decision, even Christians. Listen, Flash, we are all fallible. We are all fallible. God is the only one infallible. His counsel is perfect, enduring, never fails. Never. Make sure before you make a decision that you have a biblical basis for the decision you make. I don't care what it is. It's so absolutely necessary. And today in our culture, I'm just telling this right now. Now, look, I've got to be honest with you. Somebody just showed me a sign taken. It's great. The real estate agent is saying, I'll sell your house. But on the sign, it says, moving to Canada? And it's got a picture of the presidents or the candidates running for president. And so his thing is, moving to Canada? I can sell your house. Well, that's clever, but Christians ought not to decide that way. Well, you know, Pastor, I hear this time and time again. Now, look, I want to be careful because if God has told you, then you go for it. But so many times I hear Christians say, you know what? I'm looking around, man, it's crazy. So many cars here, so much traffic in Southern California, and all this, and there's no seasons and all this stuff, and all this, you know what? I'm out of here, man. And then the next week later, they come up and they say, yeah, God told me to move. Wow, that's awesome. Wow, super. The funny thing is, when people tell me, God told me to move, watch. This happens to me several times a month. I'm not exaggerating. Pastor Jack, God told me to move. What do you think? True story. Do you know what I think? This is what I say. It's irrelevant what I think. It is? Why? I mean, gosh, why? Because you just said, God said. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Are you with me? Be careful when somebody comes along and says, the Lord told me to tell you. Look, God can tell me himself. I'm dead serious. A lot of people can tell you. They can all be right in the end. Just make sure that they are proven to be right in the end. Let God speak to you. The Bible is replete with these events in life. God wants to speak. Psalm chapter 1. You knew I was going to go to Psalm 1. This is just textbook perfect for this. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Boy, look how I almost deceived you a second ago. I skipped one word there. Not. Nor stand. Watch this. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Number 2. Don't stand in the path of sinners. No, don't go to happy hour to get your advice from people. Nor sit. Notice, walk, stand, sit. Not good. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. These are like idiots. Scornful. They're blabbing about it. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. This is what you ought to do. You're like, God says, you shouldn't be listening to those people. But his delight, verse 2, this is the believer. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There's your answer. Oh, I don't want to make any bad decisions. Meditate in his word day and night. You're going to, listen, tonight you're going to choose to take this advice from the Bible, or you're not. And the rest of your life will be based upon the decisions you make. Are they right or are they wrong? Let's keep reading. Verse 3, don't you want to be like verse 3? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Oh, man. Don't you want to be verse 3 kind of believer? Then you got to do a verse 1 and 2. I want all that good stuff to happen to me. I want to be led by God. I want to know that I'm on the right path. I want to have God's hand upon my life. Good, do verses 1 and 2. Those 3 verses, God will never fail you. Ever. Every time you and I have made a bad decision, it's because we wanted to make that decision. He told me he loved me. Translation, I wanted to be loved. I understand that. Everybody in here understands that. But there's always indicators. If you love me, you'll... Indicator. Are you with me? Be careful, be wise. Watch out. Hey, if you, sign up on my thing and you know, we'll make millions together. Watch out. There'll be indicators. There's always indicators. If you were about to be right now taken away, imagine how terrible would this be, but let's say you're going to be carted away from your family, from your husband or your wife, from your kids, you're going to be taken away. What would be the last words you would ever give? If you had just one moment to bestow words to your family or to your child, knowing you'd never see them again, or it's going to be 50 years before you see them again, what would you say? Jesus has the answer. Jesus. We actually know how this goes. I love you. Yeah, we would certainly say that. Do you know what? You know what God thinks? What's the last few words to say before you say goodbye to those you love? It's in John 17, verse 8. for I have given them the words which you gave me, and they've received them. Right before Jesus went to heaven, John 17, 14 says, I've given them your word. The word. The word. The word is what? Everything I just heard a moment ago. Jesus, love, obey Jesus, follow him. God's given us his word. What would God say if Jesus was leaving, heading back to heaven 2,000 years ago? Isn't it amazing? He gave us his word. And here we are 2,000 years later tonight talking about it. And the beautiful thing is, for the believer, we know it's absolutely true. This is what he does. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, Isaiah 8, 19 says this, someone may say to you, now listen, this is happening in our culture today, let's ask the mediums, those are the palm readers and the tarot card nuts and all that kind of stuff, and those who consult spirits of the dead. You know, there's people on TV, your brother is saying, you know those things? You know, we kind of make fun of that stuff, but according to the Bible, there's demons speaking through those people. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, and if you don't know about it, thank God for your ignorance in that topic. Just leave it alone. But there are a lot of people right now seeking. It's gotten very hip to be spiritual right now. Spiritual. I didn't say Christian or know God, but to be spiritual. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do this. We're going to have this thing. And they're like equivalent to like seances that are really surfacing a lot in America. Why? It's demonic activity. And people are joking. No, I don't believe it. This is ridiculous. Okay, I'll go. I'll do it. Okay, this is silly. And then you know what happens in the room? There's an aberration or there's an appearance of a family member that's dead that they knew. And then they're totally convinced. That was not their family member. That was demonic activity, man. Doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits. It's happening. But Isaiah chapter 8, as I said, verse 19, it says that they deceive with their whisperings and mutterings. They will tell us what to do, seeking guidance. Horoscopes? Zodiac? What do I do? Go down to Toys R Us, buy that goofball, what is that little eight ball, bowling ball thing? Turn, shake it around, look at the bottom, make your decision. Go to P.F. Chang's. Get your, what's that thing called? It's a Chinese cookie. It looks like a smile. Fortune cookie. I love those things. I mean, they taste horrible, but I love reading what's in them because they're so incredibly hilarious. Everybody at the table, have you noticed? It's always good news. You're never going to get bad news out of a fortune cookie. Can you imagine you open up a fortune cookie and you say, the IRS will be at your door tomorrow afternoon. There's your fortune. Never. No, it's always you're going to meet someone interesting. You laugh because we've all gotten that one. But here it is. Isaiah 8, verse 20 says, look to God's instruction and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called, How Does God Love? Part 1. So glad you joined us today, and you know, the Lord will always wait for us to come to Him. He's not out to crush us. He's there to love us. How Does God Love? Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called, The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before He was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, when our program has a special series going on that takes you through a specific book of the Bible like Isaiah, it can be a challenge to keep up. Each chapter and verse builds upon the other. That's why Pastor Jack has available at the website previous episodes that you can tune into. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click on the tab that says Listen. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And when you download the Real Life app onto your mobile device, look for past episodes on that media tab. That's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.